Time now for the Sunday News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft Furniture. Today's local area weather forecast calling for cloudy skies with a high near 13. Wind chill values could reach as low as negative 12, and wind gusts could reach as high as 21. I'm Jeremy Smith reporting the news. Our lead story. Local law enforcement is warning of a new Amazon phone scam going around. The number it comes from looks like a local number, and upon answering the call, you get a recording that tells you your Amazon account has been compromised, and that someone has charged $729 to your account in Dayton, Ohio. It tells you to press 1 to speak with an Amazon representative. Upon pressing 1, you get someone that begins by telling you that they are able to clear up the matter with some information from you. Do not give them any information. Other calls have claimed to be from Apple, and it was an Apple account that had been compromised, but when you speak to an actual person, they say they're with Amazon. When they realize you aren't going to fall for their scam, they disconnect you, and you get yet another recording that says you have been cut from this conference call. Always make sure you are certain you know who you are dealing with before giving personal or financial information. If you get a call or a letter that you think is a scam, it most likely is. As long as you have given no personal information, just hang up and do nothing else. If you feel that you've given personal information by mistake, you should immediately contact your local law enforcement agency to make sure that a police report is filed. More news after this.
We believe in patriotism. We believe in our nation's youth. We believe veterans earn their benefits through their service to our nation. We believe in a strong national security. We believe in our country. For 100 years, veterans have been impacting our nation through the American Legion, and we believe it makes a difference. If you believe, learn more at legion.org/we believe.
We're honored to recognize the TOC Direct Media Best One Southern Illiana Farm Family of the Year. Also brought to you by First Robinson Savings Bank and First Vincent Savings Bank. This year's Farm Family of the Year is the Kiesling family from Bicknell, who have Pine Bluff Cattle and Seed. Brian, congratulations on this award.
Thank you. My son Derek and my wife Sarah and my daughter Bethany, we all do this together. We raise and breed cattle, I guess. We feed all our calves and sell butcher beef, and we bought another farm. We started backgrounding cattle, so kind of transpired from there.
Derek Kiesling, can you tell me a little bit about the seed side of Pine Bluff Cattle and Seed?
Yeah, Golden Harvest. So we started selling with them in 2017, I believe. Kind of started out, it's small, but we've grown every year, so hoping to continue that.
Congratulations once again to the Kiesling family, the 2021 TOC Direct Media Best One Southern Illiana Farm Family of the Year.
Pass it on. This time of upheaval is causing me to look a little deeper inside myself, looking for some goodness. And this is what I've found. I'm more aware of my neighbor's well-being. I'm saying thanks to those who help keep my life as normal as possible. My mail carrier, my grocery cashier, my delivery person. I find myself caring about others instead of just looking out for myself. And oh, my goodness, does it feel good. Goodness is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
And now, the rest of the news. The Wayne County Crime Stoppers is offering a reward for the person or persons for the following incidents. Someone pried a lock off a storage shed belonging to Aaron Musgrave, taking gas cans, a propane tank, and a weed burner. There have also been reports of locks being cut off of storage buildings in Sisney and a 5,000-watt generator having been taken from one of those sheds. Sprague Excavating of Sturgis, Kentucky also reports a John Deere Gator UTV was taken from a work site south of Wayne City. The Gator had a number of tools and equipment on board. If you have any information on these or any other crimes, call or text Crime Stoppers at 842-9777. The industrial conglomerate Honeywell has announced plans to reopen its uranium conversion facility in southern Illinois. The multinational company headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina, announced on Tuesday that it plans to restart production of uranium hexafluoride in Metropolis in 2023. Honeywell says it will hire 160 full-time employees and contractors by the end of next year. The plant was idled in 2018 due to the collapse of demand for uranium hexafluoride, a component of fuel used in commercial nuclear-powered reactors. Two Illinois state senators have voiced concern over the state's COVID vaccine rollout following a Senate Health Committee hearing last Thursday. 54th District Senator Jason Plummer said the hearing was the committee's first ever virtual meeting on a vaccination rollout. Plummer was disappointed that the Illinois Department of Public Health Director, Dr. Ngozi Ezike, gave a presentation and then left within 15 minutes after the start of questions, before the vast majority of Republican lawmakers' questions were addressed. Plummer, a member of the Health Committee, said after months of refusing to hold hearings and denying members of the General Assembly the opportunity to conduct business, the Pritzker administration and its representatives have yet again refused to prioritize the people of this state by refusing to answer the numerous questions that remain regarding the failures of Illinois' COVID-19 vaccination rollout. 55th District State Senator Darren Bailey, also a Health Committee member, issued a statement stating, "While he's honored to have the opportunity to serve on this committee, the first meeting was very disappointing. Our state's vaccination program is an extremely important subject, and this should have been an opportunity to get to the bottom of the issues plaguing the process. Unfortunately, all we ended up with was the same lack of transparency that has become a hallmark of this administration's COVID-19 response." And State Senator Darren Bailey is working to make sure that the residents of the 55th Senate District have a regular opportunity to get help with state government issues or questions. His district office staff will be rotating through 10 different locations each month to be more accessible to his constituents. His mobile office hours will rotate each month through 10 different locations. For our area, on the second Wednesday of every month, Senator Bailey will be in Wayne County at the Fairfield City Hall from 2 until 4 p.m. And then on the fourth Thursday of every month, Senator Bailey will be in Edwards County at the Albion City Hall from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. The senator does ask all of his constituents to call his office at 665-4109 to set up appointments for the mobile office hours. No new income taxes are part of Governor J.B. Pritzker's proposed budget for fiscal year 2022. The governor's office announced the proposed budget on Tuesday. The state is facing a projected $3 billion deficit, down from the previous projections of $5.5 billion. Pritzker's budget keeps spending at the same level as the fiscal year 2021 budget, which included $700 million in reductions. The proposed fiscal year 2022 budget would also close about $900 million in corporate tax loopholes. The state of Illinois could see a massive payday if Congress moves ahead with the coronavirus relief package from House Democrats. Illinois is in line for over $13 billion in the package. That includes $7.5 billion for state government and another $5.5 billion for local governments across the state. No one is saying just where the state would spend the money, and the U.S. Senate has not yet agreed to the huge spending package. The Illinois House adopted new rules on Wednesday that Democrats say are intended to make legislative processes more transparent, but Republicans argue they don't go far enough in reforming how the General Assembly operates. One of the most significant changes from the Mike Madigan era is a new rule that limits any individual to serving no more than 5 biennial sessions, or 10 years, in either the office of Speaker or Minority Leader. Madigan served in that role for all but 2 years, from 1983 until this past January. However, 109th District State Representative Adam Nyberg believes those term limits are nothing more than show, and if the Democrats are truly concerned about limiting legislative terms, they should support legislation he is filing. Nyberg hopes to have the bill filed soon. And the River Stages as of this morning. The Little Wabash east of Fairfield stands at 18.04 feet above the 17-foot flood stage. Meanwhile, the Skilled Fork at Wayne City has a reading of 5.61 feet. Its flood stage is 15 foot. The Little Wabash below Clay City is at 7.69 feet with a flood stage of 18 foot. And elsewhere around the region, Bonpaw Creek at Browns reads 2.85 feet. The Little Wabash at Main Street in Carmi reads 17.86 feet. And the Wabash River at Mount Carmel currently reads 6.53 feet. That's a look at news. Area deaths are next.
The top 5 reasons to drive for KMA. Number 5, free health clinic. Number 4, paid holidays. Number three, monthly attendance and safety bonus. Number two, no hazmat, no jackstand moves, and higher mounted airlines for easier access. And the number one reason, you will be home daily. KMA is now hiring. Call 833-237-8929. That's 833-BEST-WAY today.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future, in a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do play, and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes, and challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid, or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
It's here. The Big Deal Store is online and waiting for you to shop and buy gift certificates to local businesses. Go to your station's website, WFIWradio.com, and click on Big Deals. Here you'll find dozens of gift certificates for places like Three Chicks Fudgery, Act Tire and Auto, Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center, and Bullard's Farm Market and Bakery. You can shop 24 hours a day and save tons of money in the process. But you better hurry. You never know how long each deal will last.
Area Deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 88-year-old Barbara J. Fan died Thursday, February 11th at her home in Opdyke, Illinois. Barbara was a homemaker and an active member of the Ladies Auxiliary VFW Post 2055 in Centralia, and the Ladies Auxiliary American Legion Post 141 in Mount Vernon, Illinois. Barbara Fan is survived by three daughters, Connie Slayton of Opdyke, Sharon Smith of Mount Vernon, and Charlotte Hawkins of Texaco, as well as eight grandchildren, 17 great-grandchildren, two great-great-grandchildren, and one sister. Funeral services for Barbara Fan will be held today, Sunday, February 14th, at 1 p.m., at the Golson Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Visitation will also be today from 10 a.m. until the time of the service. She will be laid to rest at the IOOF Cemetery in McLeansboro. Memorials may be made to the donor's choice and will be accepted at Golson's Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Online condolences may be shared at GolsonFuneralHome.com. The Golson Funeral Home of McLeansboro is entrusted with the arrangements. 73-year-old Noble resident Phyllis Lee Locke died on Tuesday, February 9th. Phyllis Locke is survived by children Lisa, Brent, and Bradley, nine grandchildren, six great-grandchildren, and one brother. Services for Phyllis Locke will be held at 1 p.m. on Monday at Marion Christian Church Cemetery. Frank and Bright Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. 66-year-old Flora resident Billy J. Ash died Thursday morning, February 11th, at Clay County Hospital. He had worked as a truck driver and worked in the oil fields. Billy Ash is survived by his wife Carla Ash of Flora, five daughters Lindsay Wells, Denise Schnell, Trish McGrew, Amanda Byam, and Jennifer Borton, as well as 12 grandchildren. A funeral ceremony will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 19th, at Frank and Bright Funeral Home in Flora. Interment will follow in Green Hill Cemetery in Noble. Visitation will be on Thursday evening from 4 until 7 p.m. at the funeral home, and memorial donations are suggested to the family to assist with the final expenses and will be accepted through the funeral home. To share a memory or condolence, visit frankandbright.com. 85-year-old Carmi resident Mary Frances Thackeray Vopple died at 7:14 p.m. on Friday, February 12th at Wabash Christian Village in Carmi. Mary began working at Dean's Flowerland and later went to work at the White County Sheriff's Department under Bob Duckworth. She was the first female deputy sheriff in White County. She retired from the Secretary of State Drivers Branch in Carmite, Illinois. Mary Vopel is survived by her daughter, Debbie South, of Carmi. Three sons, Steve Vopel of Palatine, Gary Vopel of St. Louis, and Kelly Vopel of Carmi, as well as her longtime companion, Bob Russell, two sisters, seven grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren. Funeral services for Mary Frances Thackeray Vopel will be private, with burial at Centerville Cemetery in Carmi. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions can be made in Mary's memory to Riley's Hospital, the Alzheimer's Association, or to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and will be accepted at Campbell Funeral Home in Carmi. Campbell Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. And Alan J. Red Smith, 86, of Wayne City, died on February 11th at Sisney Rehabilitation Center of COVID-19. He served in the United States Army from 1956 until 1958, owned and operated a dragline service, a farm tilling business, and was co-owner and operator of Wayne City Drilling. Red Smith is survived by daughters Michelle Venturi of Mount Vernon and Kim Dickey of Wayne City, as well as one granddaughter, one grandson, wife Lee, one great-granddaughter, a sister-in-law, and many nieces and nephews. Due to COVID, there will be a private funeral service for Red's family, with military rites provided by Anthony Wayne Post 176 American Legion and the Wayne County Post 4535 VFW. Memorials may be made to the Alan Red Smith Scholarship Fund to assist students who are pursuing a degree in an ag-related field. The family would like to express sincere gratitude to the excellent caregivers throughout the years. Current caregivers are Pam Welty and Amber Davis. Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. And as a reminder, we update our obituaries regularly on our website, WFIWradio.com. Again, today's forecast is calling for cloudy skies with a high near 13, wind chill values reaching as low as negative 12, and gusts of wind as high as 21 miles per hour. Reporting for WFIW WOKZ News, I'm Jeremy Smith.
The Big Deal Store has a great deal on Vopel's Home Furnishing Certificates. Pick one up and get a great value on top quality furniture at Vopel's Home Furnishing in McLeansboro on the south side of the square.
Fast, fun, and flexible. That's TOC Direct Media. Email jobs at originalcompany.com and tell us why you'd like to be on the TOC Direct Media team. Jobs at originalcompany.com, an equal opportunity employer.
Happy Valentine's Day. I'm Jeremy Smith, and it's time for a Sunday check of sports. Fairfield would host Hamilton County last night in a triple header, with Fairfield coming out on top in all three games. In freshman competition, Fairfield would win 53-30. The JV would win 76-31, and in varsity play, Fairfield comes out on top with a final score of 67-49. The Fairfield high scorers for the game were Noah Barger with 25 points, Eric Rogers with 15 points, Luke Duckworth, who scored 12, and Nick Easton with 9. In Edwards County basketball action at the JV level, Woodlawn would defeat Edwards County with a final score of 43-34. And edging out a victory in a close, nail-biting finish, Edwards County Varsity would defeat Woodlawn with a final score of 45-42. North City Omaha Enfield defeated Carmi White County 49-36, and it would be Mount Vernon over Hamco 35-22. The Fairfield versus Sisney game has been rescheduled due to weather. It will take place on March 10th at 5:30 p.m. That will be a varsity game only. And also postponed till March 10th was last night's Wayne City at Mount Carmel game. And as race fans get ready today for the 63rd annual Daytona 500, rain is in the forecast. The National Weather Service says today in Central Florida, there's up to a 63% chance of rain, including at the start time of the race. The Daytona 500 starts at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Central. And oddsmakers say that two-time defending champ Denny Hamlin has the best chance of winning. Alex Bowman will sit on the pole for the 63rd annual race, which airs on Fox starting at 2:30 Eastern Time. And that's a Sunday Check of Sports. Have a great rest of your day.
My name is Dr. Tony Fauci here at the National Institutes of Health. If you've recovered from COVID-19, your plasma has antibodies that may help others fight COVID. Please donate plasma now. You can literally save lives. There are thousands of locations across the country where you can donate. Find a site to donate your plasma at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
And time now for a local check of weather. Today, expect cloudy conditions throughout the day, high near 13. We will see some intermittent snow flurries over the next few hours. As a matter of fact, we're seeing them right now. Wind chill values could be as low as negative 12 today, and we're going to see some gusts of wind out of the northwest as high as 21 miles per hour. Overnight tonight, snow mainly after 10 p.m. Overnight low, 8 degrees. Your overnight wind chill will be 7 below zero with possibility of 21 miles per hour wind. There will be new snow accumulation tonight. It could be between 1 and 3 inches minimum. Taking a look at President's Day, snow in the forecast, high near 15. The wind chill will be negative 7. The chance of snow is 100%. And your overnight low for Monday, by the way, will be 5 degrees. Looking ahead to Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 19. Wednesday, a chance of snow showers, cloudy with a high of 24. And a chance of snow showers on Thursday as well. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Thursday's high will be 27 degrees. Yesterday's high was 20, the overnight projected low, 4. We actually surpassed that here at the station. We got down to 2 degrees, and it has stayed there all morning long. No rain in the gauge overnight, 1.09 inches total for the month of February, and for the year of 2021, we are sitting with 4.26 inches of precip overall. Current barometric pressure is 30.42 and rising, 69% humidity level outside today. Wind chill, negative 9 right now, negative 9 wind chill. We've got a negative 6 dew point. Visibility is said to be 10 miles. There are some spots where we're seeing some fog in the low-lying areas, so I would recommend caution while driving. Sunrise was at 6:46 this morning. Sunset will be at 5:27. Currently, it's mostly cloudy conditions, slightly overcast, and some light flurries of snow. Current temperature here at the radio station 2 miles east of Fairfield is 2 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like negative 9. You're listening to WFIW 104.9 FM and WFIWradio.com.